Guten Abend, David und alle unsere Abonnenten. Mit großer Freude freue ich mich, Ihnen sagen zu können, es ist Zeit für einen weiteren Constant Geekery Podcast.
Danke, Pete. Das ist wunderschön. What's with the German intro, Pete?
Well, I don't know really, but I just thought that we'd get Frau MacBook to introduce us this evening, as we're both, you know, scholars of the German language.
I did, in fact, study German at secondary school or high school, as the Americans say, and I scored an A in my exam for that, which is obviously completely useless, like all exams that we did at school.
Study hard, kids. Yeah, but obviously, you know, for those that don't speak German particularly fluently, I'll just repeat, good evening, David, and all our subscribers. With great joy, I'm pleased to tell you, it's time for another Constant Geekery podcast. So here we are.
Well, thank you, Pete. That is wonderful indeed.
And wunderbar, some might say.
Indeed, they might. And we're going to kick things off. I say kick things off. That would sort of implicate that we were just getting started with the podcast, but actually...
You're going to go there, aren't you?
I'm going to go there, Pete. Actually, that's not the case. And that's because Pete had a malfunction, didn't you?
No, that suggests that equipment failed me. Well, actually, I had a malfunction personally in that I forgot to hit the record button on my audio recorder.
So we're doing the podcast again, and... trying to be spontaneous, funny and witty when you're basically repeating the same stuff that you did before is quite difficult. But it will be slightly easier for me because I've had to refill my whiskey glass now. And so I'm going to be half cut by the time we're halfway through this.
What are you drinking, Dave?
I am drinking tonight some Tamna Vullin, which again is a Speyside single malt. Some of my favourite, finished in a sherry cask.
So, haven't you had that before, though?
I have, and I fully intend to reuse whiskey on the podcast because I'm not going to go out and just buy whiskey every single week because...
Well, unless, of course, you want to subscribe to our Patreon channel, which is constantgeekerypodcast.com/3cheats-to-the-wind, in which case we would welcome that. Obviously, I'm just making that up. I've got a Pepsi Max.
What's with the gold top there, Pete?
That's because it's got no caffeine. You see that? No caffeine in this Pepsi Max, which kind of, I think the max part of Pepsi was, it was maximum caffeine, wasn't it? Maximum taste, maximum caffeine. This has none of that. It still tastes good.
It's basically Pepsi, what's the point? There's no sugar, there's no caffeine.
Well, I am getting quite old now, so I can't have caffeine past 7 o'clock in the evening. And I have to say, I do feel bad about what I did to you in last week's podcast. For those that didn't see that, I stitched Dave up by delivering some rum liqueur for you to drink, wasn't it? Rum liqueur with, was it mango and passion fruit?
I erased it from my memory, Pete. I've had counselling. I've been through all sorts of things to get past that moment in my life. So let's not go back there.
No, well, I felt so bad about it, although many of our subscribers did enjoy that. So you'll be pleased to know that I have taken up one of the suggestions from our subscribers for this week's Pete's Eats, and it is worth watching to the end. If you want to see someone vomit on a rather expensive MacBook, this may be your opportunity. Now, obviously, if you're listening and not watching on YouTube, you may want to get yourself over to the Constant Geek, youtube.com/theconstantgeekerypodcast to see what Pete's Eats transpires to be later. I'm actually genuinely not looking forward to it, but
which means
we'll see
how
it goes.
Which means I am, Pete. Anyway, before that happens, we got some tech to get through. And tonight we've got a little bit of Apple news, and we're going to also be talking about Intel again. I know we talked about Intel in the last podcast, but stuff's happened, so we do indeed talk about stuff that has happened in tech.
Do you think Intel have responded because of our podcast? Because obviously we would... Do you think that might be it?
I should imagine that's probably the only reason why they've responded, Pete. So, first of all, though, before we get into that, how did you enjoy the Apple event?
Oh, what? The one on the 23rd of March?
Mm.
It was absolutely fantastic, riveting. I was beside myself. It was very short. I liked the way they – do you remember the micro dots that they used to put into things or the video blasts at the end of children's television programs? Do you remember video blasts? The idea behind a video blast is they'd have – it's before the internet – loads of information quickly spun up at the end of the credits that you could then record it with your VHS recorder or maybe your Betamax if that's what you had, and then pause it to see this information. Obviously, if your VHS had decent tracking and a freeze frame option, otherwise it was like... But that's what the Apple event felt like. It was like, blink and you miss it.
We are showing our age here. My mate used to have a video recorder that had this rather unique function. So VHS player recorder, but it had the ability to overdub audio onto the VHS cassette by plugging a microphone into the front of it. So we used to go down to the local video rental corner shop, get the worst B-movies we could, and overdub them, and take them back again. It's terrible. I can't believe we did that. It's one of those things that you do it and you think, well, I wonder what would have happened. But we've obviously got no idea who rented those movies next.
Probably no one if they were B-movies.
Probably not.
Cool. We are showing our age, aren't we? So, VHS. Anyway.
If you didn't pick Apple up event. On that, that was a whole bunch of British sarcasm for you because of all of the YouTube leak bombs, and I am doing air quotes at the moment if you can't see because you're listening only, then air quotes have been deployed, as has dripping sarcasm, because I'm getting a bit...
I hate that term.
I am getting a bit tired, I'll be honest. Of all of these
clickbaity headlines. I refuse to use the term leak bomb in relation to a YouTube video. As far as I'm concerned, a leak bomb is what a newborn baby has in its nappy when it goes all up its back and out its legs and all that. That's a leak bomb. This is just clickbait, pure and simple.
I'll tell you a fun fact, Pete. So my youngest brother, and who owns the lovely Power Mac that I featured in my video this week. But there's quite a gap between us. I was about 12 when he was born. And I was sort of bouncing him on my lap one day, and he prodigiously leak bombed over me and my favorite t-shirt, which I'm going to go really, really old now. It was a color changing t-shirt. Do you remember those, Pete?
Oh, I do, yeah.
When the temperature changed.
Global hypercolor.
Everyone could see how much you were sweating because your t-shirt would change color. Well, that was the end of my color-changing t-shirt excitement.
Thanks but it to, changed the color it was never meant to change.
You know, like really runny bolognese sauce? It's just, it was a bad moment. And I don't know if he listens to the podcast, but if he does, I'm in all sorts of trouble now.
So... I really hope he does. We'll find out.
I'm sure I will.
I tell you what, this will be a really good way of finding out who that we know listen to this by just dropping in things that only they would know that we know that they know.
Excellent. That's a good idea. Let's do that. But let's get some more tech in. Oh, here's a question, though. Do you think, because Apple have traditionally, you know, we are doing the sarcasm thing, but Apple have traditionally done a spring event. That's not, well, they haven't done it every year, but it's not an unusual thing for them to do. Do we think that the silicon shortage is now hitting Apple as well?
There have been reports of that, and I wouldn't be surprised. You know, they're not immune to these things. They just had a better plan in place for their Apple silicon, which obviously was well in place before COVID really took a grip.
Well, it's all about how much they'd ordered. And I think the simple truth is, although we have mocked a little bit NVIDIA and AMD, simple truth is that demand for their products is significantly higher than they expected it to be. So,
yeah, that's fair. And there is still talk of an event maybe in April now.
Maybe.
But of course, you know, is that just more leak bombing from these people that supposedly have the inside track? And at some point, of course, if you make wild predictions, you will eventually be right.
Yeah. Anyway, here's some Apple news that is right, and that is that Apple have removed the iMac Pro from their online store.
They have indeed.
And we knew this was coming because they put up a page saying, get one whilst you can. So perhaps people got one whilst they could. Although I suspect possibly not. I suspect that there are probably still a few kicking around and Apple will have shipped them out the door to various retailers who will then sell them on at a very favourable price.
Yeah. So perhaps a good time to get yourself an iMac Pro from a third-party retailer. There's a few out there in the UK, isn't there?
Yeah, Jigsaw 24 quite often have that kind of stuff, end-of-line stuff. I've had a couple of laptops from them. Though what I would say is when I looked at the spec, there was only one spec available. And
okay, is that the one with the top-rated, the Vega graphics?
No, it was a Vega 56, I think. So you would actually, so unless it's cheaper than the top consumer 27-inch iMac, it's probably not worth going for. Unless you
right.
just got to have that dark grey.
Gunmetal grey. Mm.
Yeah. So, but other things happening on the iMac front as well. The smaller iMac, the 512 gig SSD and the 1 terabyte SSD are no longer available to be specced, apparently. I haven't actually checked yeah. that, so let me just surreptitiously do that now.
Hot off the press. And while you're doing that, I don't think anyone can actually hear it last time. You could, but if you can hear a dog excitedly barking in the background, that is one of my dogs playing with one of my other dogs. Mm-hmm. I do tend to get a bit feisty this time of the evening, so I apologize for that.
It is indeed the case that you can only have your little iMac with a 256 gig SSD or... Sorry, I was a bit distracted there by the memory price. I'll come back to that in a minute. You can have a 256 gig SSD or a 1 terabyte Fusion drive.
Mm.
You can also pay to go from 8 gig to 32 gig, Pete. How much? So for an additional, what if brain will work correctly, an additional 24 gigabytes of RAM.
Is it featuring normal Apple tax?
Yeah.
About 400 quid?
£600, Pete. 600 what? English pounds.
You are joking me.
No, what's that in dollars? I'm going to have to look.
That's outrageous.
I'm just going to look that up. Actually, it's probably the same in dollars on the...
It's not a good time to buy a small iMac, is it? I mean, the Fusion Drive has its pluses.
Yeah, those things get a bad press, but I had one and I thought it was pretty good, but it does depend what you're doing with it.
It does. I mean, the concept of it's really good, isn't it? Because it's basically, the word fusion isn't just a cool name. It is a fusion of two drives. So you've got an SSD drive for stuff that you access regularly and need quick access to, including the OS. And then stuff that's perhaps more occasionally looked at goes on a standard disk-based hard drive. So a bit like the human brain, really.
Let's call it.
Spinning rust. A bit like a human brain, you know, you've got short-term memory that you can access very quickly and then longer-term memory that you can access slightly more slowly, and you sometimes get bad sectors as the brain gets older. And yeah, this is kind of turning into one of those age-related rants again, isn't it?
Yeah, much like your brain as well, Pete. You can't choose where you put the stuff in the storage. You just get one drive.
You just get dumped in there somewhere.
Yeah, and it does all the work in the background. And you just hope that it puts the right stuff in the right place. But generally, actually, they're in normal use. And some of our designers have got iMacs with Fusion drives in. And I checked with them, and they all say they work great. Not so great when you're hammering the drive with data. So if you're doing video editing, you will find that you've got to restart your video editing suite occasionally just to flush things through and speed it up again. So not ideal for that, but for general customers, yeah, it's not a bad solution.
Yeah, shame you can't restart the human brain when it starts going slow. That would be really useful.
That would be useful.
Speaking of age, I found out the other day that we're actually in two separate generations because of when we were born.
Are you in generation black and white? And I'm in generation colour. Is that the difference?
Generation sepia. No, I'm generation X, apparently. And apparently, you are generation... Well, you're a millennial.
No, I'm not.
According to the website.
How can I be a millennial? I was born in the 70s, Pete.
I don't know. Well, so was I. But we are in two separate generations.
Whatever.
So, Do you know what generation Forrest Gump is in?
Okay, let's pretend that I haven't already heard this joke. Go on.
Come on, I prepared this.
Did I laugh the first time, though, Pete? Before you tell it, did I laugh the first time?
You didn't, but you never find any of my jokes funny.
Go on, crack on. Okay.
Forrest Gump is in Gen A.
Okay. We can probably, you know, put in some tumbleweeds at that point.
Some put some crickets in there, yeah. Some cicadas. Yeah.
Excellent. Okay.
I thought it was good. If you thought that was good, let us know in the comments, because I've got very low self-esteem. Moving back to tech news, though.
Well, we haven't finished the iMac yet, don't forget, have we?
No, but moving back to that age-related stuff.
This is a hopeless podcast. Go on.
Is it a good time to buy an iMac? You're only saying that because we had to restart it. It's fine.
Is it a good time to buy an iMac? If it's the top spec 27-inch iMac, sure, go for it. It's a fantastic machine, regardless of what Apple Silicon comes. It's still a good machine. Whether you'll still feel that way when the Apple Silicon version comes out is another question, but it is a good machine. The 21.5-inch iMac, no, I don't think it's a good idea to buy one of those at the moment.
Not unless you're really not bothered. And even if you are, don't go for the entry-level model.
No, that's the thing with these, you know, and I just mentioned that price. So you can't, I'll just use the British prices, but I suspect it's similar figures in dollars on the American side. But the entry-level model is 1100, so 1099. We'll just round it up because we're not stupid like Apple's marketing people think we are. So it's 1100. Then you go up to, but that doesn't have a 4K display, by the way, and it doesn't have a discrete GPU. After that, you go up to 1300, and you're getting an 8th generation i3 as opposed to a 7th generation i5. I mean, an i3 for £1,300. I suppose you are getting a 4K display with it, and you do get dedicated graphics. But if you want to go for the beast model, so this is a 6-core 8th gen i5. With a 560X graphics card, which isn't anything special, and a 4K display, £1,500. And that's
not a good time.
Yeah, and that's 8 gig of RAM. So you know you're going to have to. Well, I'll just spec one up. Why not, Pete? Let's spec one up. So we can bump it if we like to an 8th gen i7. That's just 200 of our imperial credits of the realm. And let's go for 32 gigs of RAM. Why not? And, we can have a Pro Vega 20, Pete. A Vega 20.
Stick it in.
Which is only marginally, I'm going off the top of my head here, but I think that's only marginally better than the M1's GPU. And it's an extra 350. Let's pop that in. You can have 256 SSD or 1 terabyte. There's no price difference for those. So,
what would you go for?
In that spec, I'd have the SSD. Yeah. So
okay, do it.
That brings us to the paltry amount of £2,650.
Do we recommend someone do that right now? I can't believe anyone would do that ever, but go on.
Well, Pete, let me be honest here. I don't recommend that anyone do that ever. Not right now, no. Not ever. That's just crazy. That's poor value for money. The iMac in its topmost spec does make sense as a computer, but you're paying for that screen. And with the iMac 27-inch, you're getting that 5K display. And to buy...
Which is lush.
It is amazing. And to buy a 5K display, what are you looking at? You're over a grand just for that. So that suddenly makes it...
The value comes then, doesn't it? You get good value for money.
Anyway, what usually happens when they're reducing specifications of computers is that they're making way for new products. And then you normally see those things mentioned in some way in the operating system.
Yeah, which is what we are seeing now with the beta version of Big Sur 11.3, which developers have got their mitts on. And they've had a little sort of rattle around in the code, and they found references to two new iMac models. So the iMac 21.1, and the iMac 21.2.
Which may or may not indicate a complete redesign, because the from 1 year to the next, you know, iMac 19, iMac 20, and they haven't had a complete redesign. So read into it what you will, but I think it probably makes sense for us to assume that there will be Apple Silicon iMacs. In fact, we've already said that on our various channels.
Yeah.
Maybe WWDC, but you think possibly sooner?
Well, I don't think. I'm seeing a lot of people claiming that that's actually what's going to happen. Like we say, it's not uncommon for Apple to have a spring event. Maybe they've moved it to April because of silicon shortages, or they were always going to do it then. Mm. There's no way to tell. Maybe it will be WWDC 21. Mm. But certainly new iMacs are on the way. So unless you absolutely have a pressing need to get one right now, please, please wait.
Mm, definitely. Anyway, let's move on from that. Obviously, we're doing our SSD survey at the moment, and I've sort of made the unilateral decision to close that survey this week because...
What, without talking to me?
Well, I sort of knew that you'd agree anyway because there's fewer people filling in the survey. I haven't even checked it of late. Do you know how many people have filled it in? Let's just have a quick look. Last time I looked, it was on about 1,800, I think. Does that sound about right to you?
I will get you the the figure.
1,839. So what we really need to do is just close that down and then start really working through that data to see what we can find. Because a lot of people were commenting on my channel. I say a lot of people, a few people are commenting on my channel sort of to the effect of what you're talking about. We've already solved this issue, which is not actually true. One of our esteemed YouTube colleagues, Created Labs, have done some testing, and it's good videos, actually. Well worth going and watching those. Yeah. Where they've found that Rosetta is a massive contributor. Which I think is something we kind of knew, and what our data is showing us to a certain extent, although I think we possibly missed a trick in some not giving people the option to break that down and show that they use Rosetta a lot. So we probably won't be able to glean much in that regard from our survey. But nonetheless, it is true that some Rosetta apps do appear to contribute to the issue, but it's not the only thing that's causing it. And
no.
It does also seem that in the latest update, things have improved slightly based on anecdotal evidence I've seen.
So I've actually closed the survey now while we've been talking. So 1,839 responses is where it's going to stop.
Right.
Thank you so much for putting your data into it, and we will have a good work over that data. We have had some offers of help, and we will try and draw some sort of final conclusions from this particular saga, because I think it's fair to say we all want to put it to bed. We don't want people worrying about it if they don't need to. Let's move on with our lives once we've got that sort of final summary.
Yeah, and I think my goal with doing the thing in the first place in the videos that I made was that I actually wanted to reassure people. And it seemed that no matter what you say, people are panicking. Probably because there's a whole load of tech media raising panic. I've done another video anyway on SSDs for this week. And before you groan and go, oh, not another SSD video. This one, I've done a lot of research, and I thought I'd like to make a video on how SSDs actually work, how they do their stuff, and why they're different to spinning hard disks. And
that sounds good.
Hopefully it will be helpful and will help people to understand what the...
Good save.
What the SSD... is actually doing behind the scenes. And then I sort of draw some conclusions then on how that can lead what we think about Apple and the potential long-term lifespan of the SSDs.
Will it have a sandwich analogy?
No, but there is an analogy, and there will also be a chart and some other B-roll, because it's about 17 minutes long or something. So I'm going to have to find lots of images to bring in so that people don't lose interest.
Charts, B-roll, and analogies. I like a good analogy. I've got to think of an analogy for an analogy.
You probably need to learn how to say analogy first.
Don't mock my accent.
I'm the one drinking the Tamnavulin. You're on Pepsi Nothing, apparently. Anyway, that video, I've done the initial edit on it, so I'll be doing that B-roll and chart excitement tomorrow. So it'll either be up tomorrow, which will be today, if you, or yesterday. It could be any time, depending on when you're listening to the podcast. We're recording this on Sunday.
Could have been in the distant past.
Anyway, you'll see it come up. It's on the main channel, youtube.com/constantgeekery. Moving on.
Yes.
Intel have an event where their new CEO, Pat Gelsinger, hopefully I've said that correctly, announced some of their plans and strategies. And Intel basically held this event as a video stream on their website. So there's no commenting or interaction.
Oh.
Which is probably
wise.
Probably wise for them. Well, in fairness, that's what Apple do, isn't it? That's what most people do. Mm. Although, I say most people, AMD actually stream their stuff live onto YouTube. Anyway, here's the headline thing. And we want to talk about this because Intel have kind of pushed themselves into the news, or they've been pushed into the news by M1 and AMD, and their responses haven't been particularly great yet. And, you know, one of the things that we were saying, we're not overly keen on the silly benchmark fabrications that they made about their Evo platform. And the advert just seems to be a little bit lacking in class. And what we really want to see, from Intel is, tell us what you're doing. How are you innovating? How are you changing the game? You know, that's what AMD are doing. That's what Apple are doing. You need to do that instead of focusing on denigrating the competition. Anyway, so here's what they're doing. They're going to invest $20 billion in two new fabrication plants in the US.
That's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money, but it also, at the same time, doesn't seem like enough money to me. And I wonder whether there's some sort of subsidy going on from the US government.
Biden administration. Because, there was talk of that, wasn't there? Because there are concerns around the dependency of the globe, really, on the fact that 80% of semiconductor or semiconductor manufacture happens in Asian countries at the moment.
Well, you could argue that's because Intel can't get their act together. But
I would definitely argue that. Mm. I got no issue with it. But obviously, semiconductors are in everything. You know, Pat Gelsinger mentions that in his interview. They're in everything that, you know, it's at the heartbeat of modern technology. Mm. And that includes not just consumer stuff, but military grade hardware. And that's where things get concerning for countries that, you know, want to protect the IP and hardware that they have. So that's where perhaps a lot of these concerns are coming from, around sort of security more than anything else.
Yeah, which is, I guess, fair enough. But what Intel plan to do with these fabrication plants is not so much build their own chips. What they want to do is provide foundry for third-party companies.
Much like TSMC do.
Yeah. So but then if you read the documentation that goes along with this, they also do say that they plan to make use of other foundries themselves. So this sort of ties in with the news that Intel has apparently purchased a large amount of TSMC's 3-nanometer production capacity.
Interesting.
Yeah.
What do you read into that?
I don't read anything into it at the moment because I'm not sure that Intel is making their chips for 3-nanometer. They're very focused on their 7-nanometer process, which we'll talk about in a minute. But Intel does make a lot of other stuff as well. They make SSDs, they've got their Optane products, they've got the Wi-Fi chips and various other things as well. So it could just be that they
it's
want
It's just
that.
Like a stopgap, do you think? Do you think it's a stopgap while they get their own foundries up to speed? Because it's 18 months, isn't it, from breaking ground to a foundry being ready to produce. And then even you're not in the situation where you're going to be from day one churning out good quality chips with good yields.
No, I would say that the foundries that they're building in the US won't be making Intel's mainstream chips for a bit longer than 18 months for sure. Hmm. But we could end up seeing this situation where we've got Intel making chips for others, whilst others are making Intel's chips. Which just seems a bit odd to me. Anyway, yeah. they're making a lot of noise about their 7-nanometer process. And they're saying that they're expecting to tape in, okay, that's the term they're using, tape in their 7-nanometer designs in Q2 of 2021. So in other words, imminently, in the next 3 months.
So for those that don't know, tape in, what does that mean?
Well, I've got to be honest with you, Pete. I had to look it up. I've heard of tape out, but tape in,
I had.
It's fairly new to me. But let's do tape out first. So tape out is, it comes from back in the day, you'd get your design complete and you would put it onto tape, digital tape, you know, storage tape, and send it off to the foundry. So it's like, yay, we're finished and we've got the tape out. It's off to the foundry, hence tape out, right? You finished your design and it's off to production. That's not what we're talking about here, though. Tape in seems to be used to apply to system on chips. So where you've got lots of different designs that are all going together on one piece of silicon. And when those individual designs are ready to be passed over for the final design. Now, that to me seems like there's a whole lot of work left to do, because someone's then got to put all of those pieces together. And they call it, I can't remember exactly. I think it's tiles. They're calling them tiles. You know, they, AMD call it chiplets, don't they? And Intel made a, you know, they were having a good dig at AMD when they went down that road. And yeah, they're doing the exact same thing, which makes perfect sense because you can make interchangeable components that then can go on different chips. I fear we may be getting a little bit too techie here, though.
Yeah. What's basically what it means is that they're at this stage imminently of taping in, that which is
means nothing.
Tape out is what we want to know about. Is that's the final design phase before manufacturing starts? So when's tape out going to actually happen?
Well, who knows? But in all likelihood,
is that. Is there an actual foundry process for 7-nanometer yet for Intel?
Well,
or is it just marketing guff? Not that Intel are known for sort of marketing guff and you know, spinning things to completely misrepresent everything. They're not known for that. They haven't got history in that.
No.
But is it?
I suspect they're prototyping stuff when it comes to their CPUs. They're 7-nanometer as well. I think it's really important to say this, that will be equivalent to TSMC's current 5-nanometer, which is what the M1 is built on.
Yeah.
So this is a decent step. They need to use something called, and I had to research this, extreme ultraviolet lithography. And as I understand it, and I'm by no means an expert on this topic, as I understand it, Intel have resisted the use of that. And that hasn't really worked out well for them. So now they are embracing it. But there is only one company in the world, as I understand it, that makes that equipment that they need. So again, I don't imagine this is something that's just going to be, you know, let's switch on our new...
Nip down to Best Buy and pick up a few extreme ultraviolet litho.
Whatever those are.
Those are machines, yeah. They're not in the... deal aisle at Lidl.
I think a lot of people are disappointed, but I don't know what they expected to hear. You know, Intel don't have a rabbit to pull out of the hat, it would seem, but they are setting forward a decent roadmap that's going to fix this, but it is going to take time. You know, you're looking 18 months, 2 years, I would have thought, before we see the benefits of those. It's not all bad, though. Because in the meantime, they've improved their 10-nanometer process. I think they call it the super thin 10-nanometer, the current one. And that's what's producing these 11th generation CPUs. You know, they're quad-core.
Which are a decent step up, aren't they, the 10th generation?
Yeah, no doubt. Not in every area, but then you could say that about any CPU. But yeah, they are good. They're not as good in a lot of things as the M1. Some things they are better, some things... or many things they're not, But they are good CPUs, and we said this, I'm sure we said this last week, Intel should be shouting about the fact they've made good CPUs, because they are. If you get a notebook with an 11th gen CPU, one of those i7s, you know, it's a good product.
Yeah, you've done good.
Yeah, and you'll be happy with the performance. I know that because I've got one, and I'm happy with the performance despite having an M1 on my desk. So that doesn't stop, however, the industry commenters being underwhelmed. You know, a lot of these tech channels and reviewers are pretty fed up with waiting. Because the desktop CPUs, as I understand it, are still on 14 nanometer and are likely to be stuck there for a while by the sounds of it.
It does feel like Intel have got a lot of damage limitation and are catching up to do, because it feels like they've just sat on their laurels and other people have suddenly gone by them and they're now scrabbling to put their foot on the accelerator again.
And hence why they've brought in Pat Gelsinger. Why have I written Pell Gelsinger? I'm reading off my notes and thinking that's not right, is it? He's not called Pell. Is anyone like, called Pell? Are you called Pell? Has anyone heard of that name before? I think my brain's doing an Apple Fusion Drive moment there. It's not going to get any better either, because who did he replace?
Brian Krasnich. In February 2021. He was Intel's first CTO, wasn't he? Pat Gelsinger
was the first. Yeah. He was with Intel for a long time. He left and now he's back. A lot of people think that he can do the job. I have no reason to doubt that.
Did you watch the interview on the BBC?
I read the transcript.
He comes across as very competent. And I get the sense that he's not responsible for the current marketing that we've been deriding in recent podcasts, given how long these things take to plan and roll out. He certainly presented well.
And he really has two choices. So he's been brought in to, you know, because obviously Intel has stagnated. He's got a couple of choices, one of which is make Intel fabless. And by that, I mean, get rid of the foundries, sell them off, and just be a chip designer.
Fabulous.
That's it, fabulous. So no foundries, just get your designs made by TSMC, Global, or Samsung, or one of the other players. Yeah.
Is he going to do that, though?
No, he's not. Well, that's hence why they're investing. He wants to invest in the USA. And possibly other parts of the world, which is good news for people because it means jobs. You know, Intel is a very rich company. You know, they're not on their last legs or anything. We'll talk about their market share in a moment. One of the things, though, he did say, which piqued my interest and will no doubt make the thumbnail, but Intel making chips for Apple. All right, you know, that's something
that's what he said in the video. He did recognize that they, you know, he's got a job on his hands to convince Apple of that. He said, you know, it's up to me to go and convince Apple that we can do that for them and to make them interested.
So I wonder if some of the listeners and viewers are asking the question to themselves, won't Intel be a bit sore about the ad campaign?
You mean Apple?
Apple. That's what I meant.
Apple will be a bit sore about the ad campaign. They could be. I guess it comes down to what sort of company they want to be. Do they want to come out of this being the bigger man, being a bit classy, or do they want to descend into mudslinging? We've said before how we feel about Apple as a company on this channel, but I think they've got an opportunity to sort of be quite graceful here.
Yeah, who knows? I don't think Apple will be that fussed about the campaign. I suspect it's actually doing them the world of good because it's just raising awareness. It seems to be benefiting AMD as well. Just raising awareness for the competition. And companies do this all the time. You know, you get companies suing each other, like Apple and Samsung. And in fact, do you remember the notch on the iPhone in Samsung's adverts with all the people queuing outside the phone store with the notch in their hairline? And, you know, they they're all at it. They're all mocking each other, and that's the marketing departments, and they're suing each other. But whereas you'll have one department suing another department, and then a separate department will be working with another department at these companies. And, you know, Apple buys a ton of stuff off of Samsung.
Of course they do. So, it's crazy.
So I don't, it wouldn't surprise me. Would it be the M1 itself? Doubtful. But it may be desirable to Apple to have their chip made in the US. And if Intel can offer some foundry capacity for them, then at the right sort of level of process. I mean, they're not going to take a step backward, are they? Apple are looking at progressively smaller processes. You know, they're contemplating the 3-nanometer. Intel's nowhere near providing that. So until Intel can provide that, then I would say that's just going to be off the table.
But Pat's certainly set out his stall. Mm. And that's what Intel needed. They needed someone to lay out a strategy and say, this is where we're heading. Whereas up until recently, it's felt like no one really knows what's going on other than implosion at Intel. Although, as you say, that's not to say their market share is not strong.
Yeah. So, you know, you see all of these comments and meme comments on YouTube where everyone's saying Intel is dead. Intel is not dead. It's an enormous, enormous company. And I've got their Q4 2020 figures.
Have you?
Yes.
Pray tell.
So this is from Source Mercury Research. So this isn't just something I've made up. Important to do that. That's good journalism, I believe. They had, during quarter four of 2020, they had an 80.7% share of desktop PC market.
That's pretty healthy.
You could argue that's because you can't buy any AMD processors for love nor money, but, you know, who will have to wait for the next few quarters figures. They still have 81% of the laptop market, which actually surprised me. I thought it would be higher than that because there isn't that many AMD laptops to choose from. No. That does exclude tablets as well, by the way, in case you're wondering.
Right, okay.
And when it comes...
What about tablet, laptop?
I would assume that's still a PC and therefore a laptop.
Okay.
When it comes to servers, this did surprise me, 92.9%.
Whoa. That is surprising, actually. I'm genuinely quite flabbergasted by that one. Mm. Well, that's much higher than I thought it would be.
Yeah, but I put it to you, Pete, that all of the servers that we've got have got Intel chips in them. And you go with what you know and what you trust, don't you? And whilst Epic and, you know, AMD's new offerings look very exciting, they're also very expensive and very difficult to get hold of. And when it comes to a server, for most people, I imagine companies like us, you know, if we're going out to buy a web server, our primary concern is actually probably not so much what brand a processor is in it. Our primary concern is going to be that it's going to be well supported.
Hmm.
You know, also we buy our kit from Dell because Dell will go to the data center and swap parts out at a moment's notice if there's a problem. No, that's the kind of warranty we've got. So that's important to us. Whether the CPU is AMD or Intel is kind of irrelevant to that.
Definitely.
So I think just by virtue of the fact that most of the servers on offer are come with Xeons in them, that's probably the reason why. But that doesn't change the fact Intel is raking it in.
They are. They're not short of a bob or two, as my dad used to say.
Yeah. So
they're going to be here for a while.
Yeah.
And that's good for everyone, isn't it? We've said this before. That's good for everyone.
And the thing is, even if Apple bring out some, you know, even more revolutionary products, Intel won't be dead because to use an Apple, you have to also embrace macOS. And some people are not prepared to do that, or they're not in a position to do that, or they need to be on Windows. And there's an enormous market of people who need to be on Windows. You know, you think of business and enterprise users. Mac OS isn't a solution for them at the moment. So I don't think, you know, a couple of years is going to be... It's obviously going to affect Intel if they haven't got products to bring. AMD are obviously pushing hard, but if they can't manufacture enough if there's not enough capacity, then, and if the OEM builders aren't taking on AMD, then people will still be buying Intel. So I think sometimes
it's good for a company that gets too big for its boots like Intel to have a bit of a shock like this. You know, I think if you look at Microsoft, they've had it in the past where, you know, they've got sort of to the size where they think that, you know, Teflon, nothing can happen to them. And then, you know, along comes Apple and gives them a good kick.
Mm.
And what then happens is that forces that monolith to actually start innovating again, and you then get great products. I mean, you look at some of the Office products that we're getting now, Windows 10. Say what you like, that's a good operating system. Office 365 is a great solution.
Mm.
And that's come out of Microsoft having to realize they needed to innovate to stay relevant. And some of their hardware stuff that we've seen is really clever as well. So I've got no doubt that what we will see as a result of this kind of, it is a period of flux in the tech world, to be fair, in a lot of areas. Everyone will benefit from this. We will come out with more innovation, more competition. That breeds more good stuff for consumers and businesses alike.
That's it. And if you're not massively, you know, focused on one brand or another, if you don't have that kind of brand allegiance, then you really do win, because the choice that's available is just better than it's ever been, I think. There's so much good stuff coming out. And even if you are of that fanboy brand allegiance persuasion, I don't think you should get salty about anything that's going on at the moment, because it doesn't matter if you're an Intel fanboy, and at the moment Intel seem to be getting a bit of a kicking. That doesn't matter, because they've outlined what they're doing. You know, they are going to put their money where their mouth is. They are going to innovate. They will bring new things. And, you know, you'll be back on top again at some point. Everyone gets a share. Intel fans have had plenty of time at the top shouting at the others. And, you know, let the AMD fans have their moment of joy, and let the Apple users have their moment to shine. And it, what goes around comes around, and there'll be good stuff coming. And for every consumer, it just means loads of choice and freedom of choice. And I think that's just brilliant. Why get upset about what one company does or what another does?
I think that's really eloquently put, especially considering you've had at least two whiskeys during this podcast.
So I'm surprised even coherent at this point.
But, let's just not start talking about something that will get you ranting like eBay. Mm. No, that is just so true. It is good for companies to have this. And let people have their moment of crowing. Because 5-10 years from now, things may be very different. Mm. We may be in a different place again. And it's exciting.
Mm.
It's exciting to see innovation. You think we've had the x86 architecture has been really the only choice for as long as I can remember. And it's nice to have options again.
Yeah, I've been desperate for it. I've been following stuff like Amiga, you know, the Amiga One. They're still making those Amiga computers, not the original company. That's maybe a topic for another podcast, because it's an interesting tech topic. Suffice to say that they're not really doing anything too exciting. There is no choice. Basically, we've been stuck, like you just said, we've been stuck with x86. Apple is changing the game by bringing something else in, along with others, actually. There are others doing this as well. It's not just Apple. And
if you're an Intel fanboy, you will ultimately benefit from Apple. Mm. I know that probably pains you to hear that, but ultimately your life will be better, even if you stick with Intel, because what you will get ultimately is an amazing Intel answer to the Apple silicon question.
Yeah. Rest assured, they'll be working on it as soon as they can finish this advert campaign and get back to it. Anyway, did we have any comments to feature this week, Pete?
We did have a few. Let's start with the Intel. Sorry, what were you going to say?
I was going to say, do you want to, in view of the time and the fact that I'm quite anxious to see you eat something horrible, shall we select three comments for discussion this week?
Okay, well... lots of comments then about the Intel ads talking about the twice as many dislikes to likes, which is an interesting ratio if you're their social media manager. The fact that they actually changed the MacBook, they actually had to Photoshop the MacBook and they made it look better than it actually is. They made the bezels thinner, which is really good. I think the comment of the podcast, it did make me chuckle, was from a regular commenter and subscriber of ours, Archivist42, who said, Intel definitely got a glimpse of an M1X 16-inch Pro in a lab running Crysis at 8K off nothing but a potato battery and panicked. That is brilliant. I love nice. That. So thank you for that, Archivist42. Evil Umpire says, most Windows laptops have fast startup enabled by default. Turn it off and see how quickly, or not, I'm guessing, the laptop boots. So maybe something you can have a little play with. And then finally, Nikola Kilsovich, who also is a regular commenter, says, having Pete as a friend is just a blessing. Having someone who transforms you into Del Boy, even if just for an hour, is priceless. Of course, referring back to your umbrella and lemon slice of last week.
I wholeheartedly disagree with those sentiments.
I'm a lovely friend. Lots of other good comments as well, but I've been limited to three. Thank you, Malk H, for your comment, which was a really good one, but I'm not allowed to talk about it now.
I didn't say you weren't allowed to. I was just conscious that the time is pressing on and I don't want to have like some massive long debate about every comment. So if there's a nice one, now you've said it and you've given him a shout out on the channel. So you're going to have to finish off what you're saying now.
Well, it's a very long comment, but he says, you know, a company's product isn't too good when their marketing people talk about their competitors.
Yeah.
And, you know, he goes into some very eloquent points around that, which probably are something we can talk about at length in another podcast. Mm. So, as always, appreciate your comments. Keep them coming. Always keen to have new ideas and new suggestions for things. So thank you for those. Mm.
And thanks also to new subscribers. It has slowed down dramatically in the last week. That's the nature of YouTube.
Which I'm relieved about because we are getting to the end of March. And I did say if we got to 1,000 subscribers by the end of the month, I would eat dog food.
Doesn't look likely, unfortunately. So what are you eating tonight, Pete? Is it dog food?
It's not, but actually I have a feeling dog food might be worse. So this was a suggestion that came in probably about a month ago.
Go on.
I haven't been looking forward to this. I'm just gonna hold it up there.
Well, I can't see it.
Yeah,
It's a liquid.
It's more like Pete slurps as opposed to Pete eats.
Okay.
Someone suggests. Do you know what that is?
You know what we were talking about earlier? Leak bombs. It's got that kind of new baby poo look to it. I'll be honest.
It's a Frankfurter milkshake.
Oh no, that's not going to work out well. Brilliant.
Look at that. I can't remember who suggested this, but...
Sorry, go on. So have you cooked the Frankfurters? I mean, they are pre-cooked anyway. Have you heated?
They are pre-cooked. I don't want a warm milkshake on top of everything else. So that's going to make it even...
So you've taken how many francs are we talking about here?
There's three in it.
Three francs. Are they... What manner of meat is in the Franks? I mean, I'm just going to enjoy this.
Let's be fair. There is no meat in a Frankfurter.
Okay. What are they claiming?
There are animal products in a Frankfurter.
Okay, so from which animals do the testicles, feet, scrotal sack, and Adam's apple come from? Or is it beaks, feathers, intestines?
Pork and beef is what they say. There's a bit of chicken, I think, as well. I think there might be a bit of chicken in this.
It's only the eyeballs, so that'll be fine. You know that? What's that thing that the chickens have? The kind of really weird red...
It's a rubber glove, isn't it?
Yeah, the rubber glove thing.
It's a rubber glove according to Wallace and Gromit.
Yeah, it's probably one of those. That's probably gone in there. It's basically... I suspect it's all of the parts of the chicken... that are just considered a little bit too down market for, say, a cheap chicken nugget. That's probably... And I suspect after chicken nugget comes dog food, then probably cat food, then rat poison, and then after that, those bits that are left there are what goes into that Frankfurter.
Swept off the floor of the rat poison factory into a Frankfurter. People should know that I do not eat Frankfurters. They are vile things. I do care about what I put in my body. And I'm doing this for the sake of entertainment on the podcast channel, but
so you've popped your meat, air quotes, Frankfurters into a blender. You've poured in some milk.
I've poured in, as we established, some semi-skimmed milk
last week, comes from a cow's nipple. And what other products might you have added to this?
I've added some whey protein powder.
Was that part of the original recipe, or have you done that?
I wasn't given the recipe. I was just told, try a Frankfurter milkshake. I don't know how I have a shake every day because, you know, whey protein is part of what you do when you go to the gym. Not that I'm going to the gym at the moment, but I'm, you know, trying to get back into the eating regime for 2 weeks' time. So whey protein is the closest thing I've got to make a milkshake, and it thickens things up a bit. So I just stuck that in there in the hope that it might offset the taste a bit.
I'm going to be honest with you, Pete, and make a prediction here that I don't think the whey protein is going to improve this particular delicacy. And I think the time has come to see you ingest that. And I've got to try and keep a straight face or manage to commentate for the benefit of those who are not watching on YouTube and who are listening on Spotify or iTunes or something like that. So
I'm just going to move the mic slightly further away from me. Mm. So if you're just listening, I might get a bit quieter because I just need a bit of space.
So I'm
opening it.
Just don't, if you're going to vomit, Pete, just do it in a different direction to your computer. Don't do it. And whatever you do, do not vomit on the audio recorder, meaning that we'd have to record this whole stupid thing again. So he's got his shoe out. Brilliant. So
that's a fly knit. That's not going to work.
It's got a what? A fly in it?
Fly knit. It's a fly knit. All right. Okay. It's not going to work. I found some kind of plastic tray it's here got, in case I do need
got
to.
Got a tray. So you're going to down it all, Pete? Because it looks like there's about half a pint there. British pint. Pete's smelling it and is, I think the word is repulsed. You're repulsed. He's now gagging. Why are you doing this? I'm not going to object, but go on.
Oh, it's chunky.
He's going to shake it. That's not going to make it any better.
Oh, I hope it will.
What I like to say to my boys when they're wavering on eating something is, get it down, you lad. Pete has put it in his face hole.
That's enough of that. Oh, that is vile. Ugh.
Some of those pig trotters just repeating on you, Pete.
Oh, it doesn't even taste like a Frankfurter, which is
well, that's bad. Because it's basically milk and whey protein.
And rat scrotum.
Mm. I feel that the word scrotum has been used far too many times in this podcast, and that's probably a good indication that it's time to kind of wrap things up. Also, for those who are not regular viewers / listeners, you should know that my 15-year-old son, Tom, edits the podcast every week. And he is not going to be happy about this. Well, he's going to enjoy your facial expressions and he'll probably enjoy you drinking the drink. But he won't be happy about the choice of words. So, sorry, Tom.
That is not sitting right.
I think we'd better wind this up quite quickly.
I think we probably ought to. I need to go and attend to something.
Have you got a pending leak bomb? Yes. And on that leak bombshell, it's time to end. And thanks very much for joining us for the Cosmic Geekery podcast, which apparently is about tech. Somehow we've ended up in this sorry situation. Anyway, we hope this doesn't put you off from joining us again next week for the Cosmic Geekery podcast. Cheerio.